We bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious and heavenly Father, today we gather as your saints in this place. We gather to reflect on who we are by your love and your grace and your mercy. Reflect our ministry together in this place. And during this time, we are reminded of what all you have accomplished for us. So as a congregation, we need a vision of service, as we share with one another, as we grow together, and as we do ministry as you have called us to do. So we ask for your Spirit to lead, to guide, and direct us. In your name we pray. Amen. Many of you, as I can tell, because you're about my age, grew up in times when our families played a lot of games. For my family, when we gathered together, it was always pinochle. And no matter how large a group we had, we broke down into tables and we played those games of pinochle. And as you know, when you play games like that, there are rules. And sometimes those rules had to change a little bit depending on how many decks you used and all the various things you did. And you also need to keep track of how many tricks were out there. And as you increased decks, there was always to remember how many more. There were some unwritten rules that you needed to remember how many tricks had already been played, for instance. And playing with several tables, the winners would move up, and of course the losers got to stay where they were. And certain members always had certain qualities that either you wanted to be on their team or maybe you did not want to be on their team. Because you see, when you play certain games, there are qualities and things that we expect of our players. Trinity is a team. It comes together as a congregation. And now you are in the midst of calling your shepherd to lead you. You need to come together to discuss qualifications. Members were given those handouts to fill out. You met together a couple of Sundays ago to talk about those things that you would like to see in a pastor, as you call them. It is called having a vision for your community and its ministry and beyond as the people of God in this place. In our reading of Scripture this morning, it sort of gave me a wonderful opportunity because in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see a contrast to what is taking place in the epistle reading. Those contrasts is one of a wayward people and then those that follow the way of the Lord. In Amos, we have the people of Israel at ease in Zion. They recline luxuriously, feast sumptuously, and enjoy the beauty of their surroundings. They are focused on themselves and not on the kingdom. They must now hear the word of judgment spoken by Amos the prophet. And we all know the parable of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke. The one focused on his indulgence of riches, and there sits the beggar at his table, unrecognized, unnoticed. And yet, that's what makes it even more offensive. He does not even see the poor right in front of him. Jesus judges a way of life in this parable, warning people to live in communities of faith, not finery. I think that's important for us to think about as we live out our lives in America today. We are to be a people of faith, not finery, not the nicest and most beautiful churches, but a place where ministry takes place. And so in between those two is this wonderful letter from 1 Timothy. And the first half of that letter has been read in consecutive Sundays here. It is to be a vision of service as we gather together as God's people in this place. During the interim period, yes, some of you have been wondering, why is it taking so long to just call a pastor? Just call one and we'll work out all the details later. Others of you were concerned about the issues that you were aware of. There was hurt, pain, uncertainty about this community of believers. I sat and I listened to many of you and the concerns you expressed. That was important. That was important because every voice is important within the community. This is a worshiping and serving community, and together you need to have a focus, a vision of service built and growing through the foundation of faith that is ours in Christ. Every congregation that assembles itself, and Trinity is one of those, is a place where decisions made will decide the difference between self-service and a life self-sacrificing service. One of those is focusing on what I want, my needs, my desires. The other is a focus on what our Lord wants, what God wants us to be in this place, and what we are to do together as His people. If you stop and think about it, where does the church come from? It comes after Christ rises from the dead, after He has gone back to heaven, and the church, the Spirit is poured out upon the church. We are the church because of what Christ has done for us. We are to become one in our service together, living a life of light, of self-sacrificing love in the body of Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He bore our sins on the cross, that we might become the children of light or God. Now, when we come to the epistle reading this morning, it is also an interesting, the qualities needed in an overseer and a deacon. What I find interesting is this is important for you as you take that next step. It's a description of faithful church leaders and workers. It is in contrast to the Old Testament and the gospel reading this morning, where it is very self-serving. The wayward focus on self-indulgence. The people of God focus on self-service. Paul lays out characteristics here. Characteristics that a congregation should consider in calling a shepherd to lead them. And you had your meeting and you talked about that. Many of you filled out the survey, and hopefully if you haven't, you will. What are the things you're looking for? What are the characteristics you would like to have in a shepherd to lead you? And yet, as you read the epistle reading this morning, Paul speaks to young Timothy. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. First of all, foremost is that here Paul reminds us that those who aspire to be a pastor or a leader in the congregation is desiring a noble task. God is calling us to work together. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. three qualities quickly come to mind. He is to be sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, and hospitable. And then there are those that follow where there is no restraint. He must not be a recent convert, not be puffed up with conceit and fall into condemnation of the devil. And then the other, I read the wrong section. He should not be a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. You see, Paul writes to young Timothy because the church in its infancy needed to think about how do we gather together? How do we join together? How do we build community together? It's important for you to think about those things as you call a shepherd. First and foremost, you need to think about those qualities that Scriptures reminds us of. Qualities of that emphasis on being that leader. Self-controlled, respectable, sober-minded, hospitable. And the one I haven't talked about and is able to teach. The quality is one that is strongly emphasized throughout Scripture, throughout church's history. God has a desire that communities be led by men who are able to teach. Why is that? Because false teaching is very much a part of all of the cultures in which we find ourselves, or as we look at the history of the church. False teaching was always at issue. It was a common enemy of the church. And it still is today. All of these qualities do not happen in a vacuum. One who teaches must be sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, and honorable, it says. But think about those disciples in the upper room with Jesus as they were sharing that final Passover meal. There was a teaching moment. There was an opportunity for Christ to share with those closest and nearest and dearest to Him. He got up and He began to wash the disciples' feet. If you've ever done that, that's a humbling and humiliating act. And when He had finished, He asked them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher has washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Teaching, joined to life experiences, is an important quality you need to look for. How many of us have washed the feet of another? It used to be a practice in the church. I have done it a few times. It is always humbling, not only for myself, but for those who have gone through the foot washing. You see, humility is an important aspect and a part of the life of the church and community. We are all recipients of God's grace. We ought to be able to speak in love, to forgive, and to be forgiven. These are the realities of our community in Christ. We live in a world filled with all kinds of injustices and violence. The church is to be a light on a hill, to be a community where we live out in word and deed ministry, accomplished through word and sacrament, based on what Christ has accomplished for us, that work of salvation. We need to look at these words as you begin that process of calling a pastor, as you look at each of the candidates before you. You need to think about what Paul is talking to young Timothy about here. A vision of service is important as you move forward. But there's a second part to this as well. Timothy directs it to the leaders in the church. Yes, that outlay for deacons. Oftentimes the church today sees that as elders in the congregation. Yes, that's how churches gathered around. There were men appointed to do various things. They were called the deacons of the church. Some of that is still true. Elders have a very important role in every congregation. They are to assist the pastor. They are to pray for the pastor. They are to be that one that calls into question when there's a need to do so, and to sit down and converse with the pastor. But also today, we have more people involved in that leadership, and yet these same kind of qualities ought to apply to them. How would Paul address these same section to leaders in our world today? Especially where the role of women has changed. How would what he states here still apply today? Verse 13 states, "For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." What I have witnessed in my time in your midst is that those in leadership have great confidence and faith in this congregation and in the ministry you have together. They have discussed together. They have tackled together what the needs of this congregation happens to be. And yes, sometimes they have disagreed with one another. Together they will not overcome everything, and nor will this congregation working together. There are always going to be issues that arise. But you need to look at how you support one another. This is a community of faith. Look around you. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes you will be at odds with one another, and sometimes you may speak harsh words to one another, and yet that's where forgiveness, God's grace, comes into play in your relationship, because in the body of Christ, it is about relationships. It is about, first and foremost, our relationship to Christ, who loved us, who came into the world, who took our place for us. And because of his grace, because of his love, he endured the cross and its shame so that you and I might come together in what we call ministry. If you come here looking for the perfect place, you won't find it. If you come here with your imperfections, you will see others with imperfections. That's why we're here. If we were perfect, we would not need one another. But in our imperfection, we do need one another. We need to admonish, to love, to share, to forgive, and to grow together as God's people. Not always agreeing, not always being on the same page, but always focused on the same purpose. To tell others the marvelous love of our God. The gracious act of salvation that Christ did for you and for me. And to live out our lives in service. And so the question becomes, what is your vision? What is your vision of service as you take that next step? What do you think about as you call a pastor? What is it that brings you together in this place? In my time here, I've seen a lot of positive and wonderful things. I have seen the Holy Spirit at work. Yes, you have issues. But tell me a congregation that doesn't. And yet, you have a purpose. Capture a vision together. A vision in which you look to your leaders with confidence. In which you embrace calling a pastor with confidence, and in which you grow together with a vision. a vision for service. Amen.